This morning on WCHL, the Rogers Road Task Force wants to see some real progress in the project. It's been delayed and now stalled.
I feel like given the conversation and people acting as if this information is new and bringing up options that were not actually recommended by the task force, I'm not sure I'm very optimistic.
And cold and flu season is here.
So far it's been a mild season, but it's early.
These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Carborough traffic and weather together. And in WCHL Championship Sports.
Paige knew it was in the entire time. We were looking down the barrel from just behind him.
We'll look back at the big upset from Connecticut. The UNC women's soccer team continues its quest to repeat an NCAA championship. And this week's UNC-Duke football game will be one of epic proportions. All of that and more on the way.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
It's 24 degrees in Chapel Hill, 707 at WCHL. Partly cloudy skies today. Look for a high today in the middle 40s. Not looking for any precipitation. Not until late tonight. Then there's a chance. Progress on the Rogers Road remediation plan has stalled in recent months, but members of the Rogers Road Task Force want to make sure the towns and county keep working to move the plan forward. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has details.
Carborough Alderman Michelle Johnson says she's frustrated by the lack of progress on the Rogers Road remediation plan.
I feel like given the conversation and people acting as if this information is new and bringing up options that were not actually recommended by the task force, I'm not sure I'm very optimistic, because if we continue to act that way, then nothing's going to happen.
She served on the historic Rogers Road Task Force, which this year drafted a plan to bring sewer service and a community center to the neighborhood that's lived with a landfill for four decades. But despite widespread support for the Rogers Road remediation plan, progress on implementation has recently come to a halt, as both Chapel Hill and Orange County face obstacles that thus far have prevented local leaders from investing money in the plan. Last week's Assembly of Governments was an opportunity to get elected officials from Chapel Hill, Carborough, and Orange County together to figure out how to move forward. But the hour-long discussion veered into finger-pointing and recrimination and left some, including Johnson, wondering what, if anything, had been agreed upon.
To me, it feels like busy work. And while people might have the intention to actually do something in this community, folks have been waiting for 40 years for something to happen. It just sounds like more busy work. Another group talking about what needs to happen at Rogers Road when the task force made it pretty clear what we wanted to have happen.
Lee Storrow, who's one of two Chapel Hill representatives on the task force, says he's more optimistic about the outcome.
There have been challenges. There have been 40 years of challenges when it comes to providing the services we need to provide to this neighborhood. So I think it's important to keep a positive outlook and to keep moving forward under the assumption that we are all going to get this done.
Storrow says he expects the majority of the town council will support extending the town's extraterritorial jurisdiction, or ETJ, into the Rogers Road neighborhood. Unless that's in place, Chapel Hill leaders can't spend town money to fund improvements outside the town limits.
My hope and my expectation and how I intend to vote is that in January of 2014, the town of Chapel Hill will vote to extend our extraterritorial jurisdiction into the neighborhood. And I think that's an important step that will signal to the county and Carborough that we are serious about this effort and we're serious about providing funding as part of our budget process.
The Chapel Hill Town Council is waiting until the ETJ process is complete before allocating any of the $5.8 million needed to bring sewer service to the 86 homes in the Rogers Road area. Orange County is also holding off on funding, but for different reasons. Currently, the EPA is investigating claims from the Rogers Eubanks Neighborhood Association, or RENA, that the county planning department engaged in environmental racism against the traditionally black working class neighborhood. And until that investigation is complete, commissioners are reluctant to commit to any plan. Last week, elected officials from Carborough and Chapel Hill encouraged the county to approve the remediation plan as a way to refute RENA's allegations and bring the investigation to an end. But County Commissioner Penny Rich, who has also served on the Rogers Road Task Force, said it's not that easy.
We probably have a little bit more information than the Board of Aldermen and the Chapel Hill Town Council on what the EPA complaint is. So even though it seems like it's a clear and simple answer, it really isn't.
And although she recognizes that both the ETJ process and the EPA investigation are far from finished, Rich says she's encouraged that all parties agreed to turn the task force recommendations over to municipal and county staffers for further examination.
We really can't move forward unless we have a clear indication from the managers, from our financial folks, from the lawyers, of what we can do. We can put recommendations on the table, but without knowing what the legal ramifications are and the financial ramifications are, we're nowhere.
The town and county managers will work through the winter to draft a report to the boards and council on the best way to implement the task force's plan. That report will be presented to local governments after the Chapel Hill Town Council votes on the ETJ extension in January. Meanwhile, the residents of Rogers Road will continue to wait, something they've been doing for 40 years. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
The Chapel Hill Town Council has a lot of business to settle before the holiday break. And to get it all done, the council is spreading out its weekly meeting this week over two nights. Tonight, the council will decide whether to move forward with a plan to build low-income housing on town-owned land next to the Chapel Hill Memorial Cemetery. If approved, the project will be a joint venture with DHIC, Inc., a Raleigh-based developer that specializes in building and managing affordable rentals using state tax credits. The council will also consider approving a new recycling partnership with Orange County and review plans to renovate Town Hall in the wake of this summer's flooding. Any issues not resolved on Monday will be carried over to Tuesday's special meeting, when the council will also be considering an adoption of the controversial Central West Small Area Plan. Both of those meetings begin at a special time to accommodate the full agenda. The council meets at 6 o'clock tonight and tomorrow night at the Southern Human Services Center on Homestead Road. As the weather gets colder, lots of people will start coming down with colds, sore throats, and possibly the flu. Ann Zellman is a clinical nurse for the Orange County Health Department. She says that so far in North Carolina, influenza activity has remained low and is sporadic all over the state. But that could change.
So far, it's been a mild season, but it's early. And most people would guess that flu peaks in November or December, but actually, historically, flu peaks in February.
She says this could be the week the flu starts to spread because so many people will be gathering together.
Well, one of the things to remember is that the flu doesn't peak just because of seasonal variables, but it peaks because people come indoors and they come in close contact with each other. So it's important to remember that when you find yourself in that kind of environment, you want to be actively thinking about measures that you can take to prevent the flu.
Zellman tells us there are some very simple measures a person can take to prevent getting the flu.
Hand washing is very important. It's important to remember that the flu is an airborne disease, so if you're coughing and sneezing, you want to make sure that you're doing that into your elbow or into a tissue and that you're washing your hands afterwards.
She says that if you've not gotten your flu shot yet, you need to do so as quickly as you can.
It's absolutely not too late. It's really important to continue vaccinating through February and sometimes even longer, depending on what the flu behavior is like out in the community. Anyone who hasn't had a flu shot yet should definitely get one as soon as possible.
And Zellman tells WCHL that young and old alike should get a flu shot.
Everybody needs a flu shot. And that's the CDC recommendation. Everybody over 6 months should get a flu shot.
This is the traditional week of getting together with your family members and giving thanks for the things you have in your life, such as your health, your home, and your job, to name a few. But for some folks, they don't have enough income to be able to provide themselves with the Thanksgiving meal. John Dorward is executive director of the IFC. He tells WCHL that the Interfaith Council will be providing food for a large number of families for Thanksgiving.
The 400 meals for the families, we actually supply them with the turkey and the all the sides that go along with that, that they can go home and cook themselves.
They do it simply because so many families can't afford it.
Turkeys and then at Christmas, the hams and things like that, they can get kind of pricey. And so some people are not really prepared to be able to do that. And this way that they're able to provide their family with the same title that the rest of us are doing.
The pickup of these food items begins today and runs through Wednesday. Families who qualified for the Thanksgiving food have already signed up and have already been approved. Dorward also tells us there will be a traditional meal on Thanksgiving Day for the homeless in Chapel Hill and surrounding community.
We'll be at the community kitchen, which is in the old municipal building down there on the corner of Columbia and Rosemary Street. And I believe that that happens somewhere right around noon.
WCHL News Time, 7:16. Time now for traffic and weather together. And traffic is brought to you this morning by Glass Half Full, the friendly, optimistic restaurant, wine bar, and wine shop right in the heart of downtown Carrboro. Good food, fine wine, and lots of fun, too, online at glasshalffullcarrboro.com. All right, time now for traffic on WCHL, and let's check in with Rand Northam and see what's happening.
Around 22 degrees. Oh, wait, that's the degrees in the newsroom.
Inside,
yeah. I'll let you do the weather here in just a bit. Traffic eastbound on NC 54 between Barbie Chapel Road and I-40, seeing some delays right now. That continuing up to 751 on NC 54 as well through I-40. Otherwise, things are moving smoothly. Estes Drive, MLK, Franklin Street, 15501, I-40, and the Durham Freeway. Not reporting any additional delays, no accidents out there right now. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
By the way, I talked to somebody at our heating and air conditioning place.
Yeah.
They're sending somebody over.
Outstanding.
Just to let you know.
I appreciate that.
It is 716 at WCHL. By the way, you look good today, but I can't see your shirt and tie because of your big, thick coat. WCHL's Chapel Hill cover of weather brought to you this morning by UNC Athletics. Carolina football, to be exact. Win tickets to Saturday's big football game against Duke by going to WCHL's Facebook page and registering to win. And don't forget to experience Tar Heel Town at Bell Tower Park, right next to the stadium, right before the game. 34 degrees in Chapel Hill right now, 33 in Carberry, partly cloudy. I'm sorry, 24 and 23. Not 34 and 33. 24 degrees in Chapel Hill, 23 in Carborough. Partly cloudy, high today 45. Mostly cloudy this evening, and then overcast with ice pellets and a chance of rain coming tonight late. Low right around freezing, around 32 tonight. Chance of precipitation is 50%. That could result in some problems tomorrow morning. Overcast with rain tomorrow with a high about 52. And then tomorrow night, a little warmer, overcast, but the low only down to about 40. So that's a less serious situation there. But boy, it is a little bit on the chilly side this morning. 718 at WCHL. Coming up, we're going to talk about some big victories for Carolina this weekend. We're talking football, basketball, soccer, you name it. It was a good weekend at Carolina. Coming back to Chapel Hill, there's good news for in-state undergrads at UNC. There will be no increase in tuition next year. The bad news, if you're an out-of-state undergrad, get out the checkbook. The UNC Board of Trustees looking at the expense of attending UNC next year at their meeting this past week. Andrew Tai reports for Carolina Connection.
Unlike in many recent years, in-state tuition for UNC undergrads will stay the same next year. North Carolina residents will continue to pay a little more than $8,000 in tuition. Provost Jim Dean says the decision to keep tuition the same wasn't his to make.
President Tom Ross, the president of the university system, communicated several months ago that he did not expect that there would be any increases in tuition for undergraduate resident students at all. So we did not make a decision about resident undergraduate tuition. We were told that there was no decision to make, that undergraduate resident tuition next year will be the same as undergraduate resident tuition this year.
When board member and student body president Christy Lambden ran for office last year, he wanted to work on keeping the tuition and fees down for students. Lambden says he's pleased with the outlook on tuition for next year.
You know, I'm delighted that we haven't seen any campus-based tuition increases for undergraduate students, and also delighted that the tuition increases for graduate students are minimal and are going in what I believe is the right direction in terms of going towards financial aid and also going towards faculty retention.
Out-of-state undergraduate tuition, however, will see an increase, and a big one at that. An increase of more than $3,000 will bring the cost north of $31,000 for non-residents. But this money won't go to UNC, but rather it will go to the state's general fund. Graduate students, no matter where they're from, will only see a $350 spike in tuition. Chancellor Carol Folt says she is worried about the big tuition increase for out-of-staters.
Well, I think the concern is, as was discussed by Provost Dean, that we could really change the pool of applicants, and we think we're getting such a fantastic student body, and that is a significant increase. If we also have that increase, it's an increase in the amount of financial aid because we want to stay need-blind. We also want to stay able to have the Carolina Covenant. So many of these things work together, and what we really hope is that we'll continue to attract as many great students from around the world as possible.
As for the fees that students face, there will be an increase of 1.2% next year, about $30. In Chapel Hill, I'm Andrew Tai.
WCHL News Time is 7:21. Carolina Connection is the radio news magazine of the UNC School of Journalism and Mass Communication. It airs each Saturday morning at 8:30 during the academic year, but will be off this week for Thanksgiving break. 7:21 at WCHL. Time now for WCHL Championship Sports. Brought to you this morning by Fitz Lumber and Hardware. Boy, it's been quite a weekend in sports for Carolina. First of all, let's talk about basketball. UNC basketball improved to 4-2 on the young season on Sunday. Few saw it coming. This fourth win came against the number 3 ranked team in the country, the Louisville Cardinals. Somehow these young Tar Heels, despite the slow start to the season, the loss to Belmont, the Tar Heels always believed. WCHL's Matt Oakes has the story on what happened yesterday.
What a Sunday surprise for Tar Heel Nation. Carolina basketball snapped the defending national champion Louisville Cardinals' 21-game winning streak with a 93-84 win to claim the Hall of Fame tip-off championship. Kennedy Meeks was a force inside, and Bryce Johnson provided some electric moments, but it was Marcus Page's 32 points that led the way for the Tar Heels with confident shots like this one.
Tokido on the floor. Picks up his dribble on the right wing. Bounce pass to Britt, top of the circle. Johnson sets the screen. Britt penetrates. Pitches. Page.
Yes, sir. Page knew it was in the entire time. We were looking down the barrel from just behind him. He shot that ball and took off down court. He knew that was in from the time it left his finger.
That was Dave Nathan on the Tar Heel Sports Network with the call. Page says he understood his role as the leader of the team at the start of the season, but now he says he's growing more and more comfortable in the role.
I think from the start, you know, I felt that that's my role and that's my job. But, you know, even as we play more games, it just becomes more natural for me. And, you know, I can be more of a, you know, a out there leader where I can yell at guys and get on guys. And they really look to me. And, you know, it's something I appreciate, I guess.
Page says no one was giving the Tar Heels much of a chance in their matchup with Louisville, but he says his teammates always knew they could get the win if they took their energy and intensity up to another level. And as the game progressed, that belief only grew.
Not very many people outside of this locker room expected us to win, and a lot of people didn't even expect us to, you know, have a chance to win. So, you know, we knew if we played together and played hard, gave more effort than we have all year, then we'd have a chance. And, you know, the way we played in the first half, when we came in the first half, we were real confident because we didn't play great and we were still tied. And then that just gave us the confidence to come out and, you know, finish the game.
Head coach Roy Williams says the feeling in the locker room this weekend was a whole lot better than the atmosphere a week ago after the Belmont debacle.
I just feel very, very good about our team. 180 degrees away from everybody in that locker room is what they felt like last week. We knew we had to play our best. We couldn't play anything less than the best in order to win this game. We didn't talk too much about winning. We talked about playing a heck of a lot better. And I think we did play a heck of a lot better.
Coach Williams says his team had to play extremely well in all facets of the game to beat a Rick Pitino-coached Louisville team, and they managed to do just that.
You got to play the total game when you play them. You got to guard people. You got to handle the press. You got to score in a half court. You got to do everything.
After a little Thanksgiving break, the Tar Heels will hope to continue the momentum as they hit the road to face UAB at 6 p.m. Sunday. You can read this story and follow all the latest on Carolina basketball on our website, chapelboro.com. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Defeating the number 3 ranked team of the country, the defending national champion, was quite a surprise for Tar Heel fans and everybody excited about that. And that does not take any of the excitement away from the Carolina football victory over the weekend as well. I don't think anybody was surprised that Carolina won, but how the Tar Heels won was just amazing. Kevin Best joins us now from UNC Athletics. And Kevin, it was a record-setting day in Kian Stadium, and it could have been a whole lot worse.
Oh, yeah, right, Ron. It really was. You know, 80 points, to score 80 points, you got to do a lot of good things, and you got to get a lot of scores in various ways. It's not just all going to be offense. So when we scored punt returns, kickoff returns, those type of things, certainly added to the record-setting day. But record-setting day for total offense, record set by Marquise Williams with touchdown passes, obviously Ryan Switzer with another punt return. So really a good day in Kenan Stadium for us.
Well, I have never, I don't recall seeing a situation like this where the coaches got together, and I understand it was at Coach Wilder's request, and shortened the game by 5 minutes.
Yeah, I have never been around anything like that either in about 18 years of doing this in college football. So a unique situation, but yeah, Coach Wilder initiated it, and you know, wanted to shorten the game. There really was nothing to be gained at that point from scoring too many more or going too much longer. So cut it down 5 minutes, and, and go back to your earlier statement, I guess it could have been more, but really was no need for it at that point.
Well, the Tar Heels had a chance to score at the end of the game. They were down near the goal line, and Coach Fedora elected to take a knee, not even to kick the field goal. And a lot of people in the stands were going, hey, just kick the field goal, and we'll outscore the basketball team today.
Well, Marquise Williams said the same thing after the game at the press conference. Those guys know each other on campus, and he just wanted to, give a little ribbon to his basketball guys. But like we talked about earlier, at that point it was 80-20. And there's no need to kick another one and do any sort of embarrassment. So we kneeled it down and turned the ball over on downs.
Well, the Tar Heels did a lot of good things, obviously, to beat Old Dominion 80-20. And certainly Duke, on the other hand, coming to town this weekend for the regular season finale, Blue Devils had to really struggle to get its win over Wake Forest. And that game coming up on Saturday is shaping up to be more and more exciting, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, it's really a battle for the Coastal Division title. I mean, if Duke wins that game, they will win the Coastal Division. If Carolina wins, then Carolina and Duke and Georgia Tech and maybe Virginia Tech and Miami could all be in a tie for the Coastal Division. So probably the most meaningful Duke-Carolina football game, I would say, at least 25 years, maybe, with what's on the line, and maybe even further back than that.
Can't imagine missing that one. Kevin, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me on.
727 at WCHL, and more good sports news this morning. We have women's soccer to talk about this morning on WCHL. Summer Green scored a pair of goals, and Anna Seeloff had a stellar game in goal to lead number one seed North Carolina past number four seed Texas A&M 2-0 in the third round of the NCAA women's soccer tournament before 806 fans at chilly Fetzer Field on Sunday afternoon, and it was chilly. The Tar Heels' win earns them a home quarterfinal game in the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2009. The defending NCAA champion Tar Heels will play host to number two seed UCLA on Saturday afternoon at 5 in the quarterfinal round at Fetzer Field. Tar Heels improved to 20-4 with the victory. Texas A&M finished its season with a record of 18-5-2. This marks Carolina's first 21 season since the 2009 campaign when that NCAA championship team finished at 23-3-1. Green scored both of the goals in the game for the Tar Heels. The sophomore striker out of Milford, Michigan, has been on fire in the last 10 games, recording 5 goals and 5 assists during that span. She now has 9 goals and 6 assists in 24 games overall this season. For the full recap on the soccer game, you can view the story on our website, chapelbro.com. But again, Carolina defeating Texas A&M 2-0 in the third round of the NCAA Women's Soccer Tournament at Fetzer Field on Sunday afternoon. It was cold, but everybody was excited because the Tar Heels were able to heat it up, and a really good outing for Coach Anson Dornis' team. 729 at WCHL. On the way, another look at your Chapel Hill Carborough weather.
With New Year's resolutions, ever notice how you're always giving up things you like? Stop doing this, stop doing that. With BMW's Happier New Year event and a holiday credit up to $2,000, this holiday season truly will be the happiest in history. I'm Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance BMW in Chapel Hill. We're ringing in the holidays with more wows than ever before. BMW's $2,000 holiday credit plus other great incentives such as $500 loyalty cash, parking a new BMW in your driveway in time for the holidays, has never been more exciting. Hurry into Performance BMW for the Happier New Year event. Make a resolution that doesn't involve giving up something you love. As the 3-year volume leader, Performance BMW has everything you need to not just have a happier new year, but the happiest new year ever. Visit our virtual showroom at performancebmw@chapelhill.com.
Dealer retains holiday credit and any other incentive which are model specific. Financing with approved credit through BMW FS on select models for a specified term. See dealer for details. Delivery before November 30th, 2013.
BMW is the ultimate driving machine. 2013 Center of Excellence. Wow.
7:30 at WCHL, 24 degrees in Chapel Hill. A little bit chilly this morning. Yes, it's going to get up to about 45 degrees before this day is out. And then tonight, mostly cloudy skies, overcast, but tonight's low temperature not quite as cold, about 32, right around the freezing point there. Chance of precipitation this evening is 50-50. And then tomorrow we're looking at an overcast day with rain in the forecast, and I have about 52 tomorrow night, overcast, and the low around 40, so not anywhere close to freezing tomorrow night. That's the way it's going right now. Things not looking all that great.
Local news all day. Breaking news whenever it happened. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Coated roads with ice in New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Texas. Is heading east. WBZ weather forecaster Eric Fisher.
It's an inside track storm, which means mainly we are just talking about rainfall, but to the west, a chance for some heavy snowfall. This will be across western New York and Pennsylvania, back into Ohio.
And that could affect airline travel as well as those who are driving somewhere for Thanksgiving. In Arlington, Texas, don't go looking for firewood at the Home Depot where Chris Anderson works.
This cold spell right now kind of hit a little bit early than it did last year. So we've sold out all of our firewood.
Whitney Lascola got stranded at DFW. Her flight was one of about 300 canceled.
It's kind of a bummer. I mean, think of all states, Texas. I didn't think Texas will have, snowstorms.
Worried about flying, you might sit back and admire a snapshot of early winter Cole Miller did in Santa Fe.
Snow sitting on the adobe, and in certain lights, it almost looks like snow on top of gingerbread houses. The trees all covered in snow.
CBS News Update. I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the morning news with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, talk, and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
732, 24 degrees in Chapel Hill. I'm Ron Stutz. Progress on the Rogers Road remediation plan has stalled in recent months, but members of the Rogers Road Task Force want to make sure Orange County and the town of Chapel Hill and the town of Carborough all keep working together to move the plan forward. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has more details.
Carborough Alderman Michelle Johnson says she's frustrated by the lack of progress on the Rogers Road remediation plan.
I feel like given the conversation and people acting as if this information is new and bringing up options that were not actually recommended by the task force, I'm not sure I'm very optimistic, because if we continue to act that way, then nothing's going to happen.
She served on the historic Rogers Road Task Force, which this year drafted a plan to bring sewer service and a community center to the neighborhood that's lived with a landfill for four decades. But despite widespread support for the Rogers Road remediation plan, progress on implementation has recently come to a halt, as both Chapel Hill and Orange County face obstacles that thus far have prevented local leaders from investing money in the plan. Last week's Assembly of Governments was an opportunity to get elected officials from Chapel Hill, Carborough, and Orange County together to figure out how to move forward. But the hour-long discussion veered into finger-pointing and recrimination and left some, including Johnson, wondering what, if anything, had been agreed upon.
To me, it feels like busy work. And while people might have the intention to actually do something in this community, folks have been waiting for 40 years for something to happen. It just sounds like more busy work. Another group talking about what needs to happen at Rogers Road when the task force made it pretty clear what we wanted to have happen.
Lee Storrow, who's one of two Chapel Hill representatives on the task force, says he's more optimistic about the outcome.
There have been challenges. There have been 40 years of challenges when it comes to providing the services we need to provide to this neighborhood. So I think it's important to keep a positive outlook and to keep moving forward under the assumption that we are all going to get this done.
Storrow says he expects the majority of the town council will support extending the town's extraterritorial jurisdiction, or ETJ, into the Rogers Road neighborhood. Unless that's in place, Chapel Hill leaders can't spend town money to fund improvements outside the town limits.
My hope and my expectation and how I intend to vote is that in January of 2014, the town of Chapel Hill will vote to extend our extraterritorial jurisdiction into the neighborhood. And I think that's an important step that will signal to the county and Carborough that we are serious about this effort and we're serious about providing funding as part of our budget process.
The Chapel Hill Town Council is waiting until the ETJ process is complete before allocating any of the $5.8 million needed to bring sewer service to the 86 homes in the Rogers Road area. Orange County is also holding off on funding, but for different reasons. Currently, the EPA is investigating claims from the Rogers Eubanks Neighborhood Association, or RENA, that the county planning department engaged in environmental racism against the traditionally black working-class neighborhood. And until that investigation is complete, commissioners are reluctant to commit to any plan. Last week, elected officials from Carborough and Chapel Hill encouraged the county to approve the remediation plan as a way to refute RENA's allegations and bring the investigation to an end. But County Commissioner Penny Rich, who has also served on the Rogers Road Task Force, said it's not that easy.
We probably have a little bit more information than the Board of Aldermen and Chapel Hill Town Council on what the EPA complaint is. So even though it seems like it's a clear and simple answer, it really isn't.
And although she recognizes that both the ETJ process and the EPA investigation are far from finished, Rich says she's encouraged that all parties agreed to turn the task force recommendations over to municipal and county staffers for further examination.
We really can't move forward unless we have a clear indication from the managers, from our financial folks, from the lawyers, of what we can do. We can put recommendations on the table, but without knowing what the legal ramifications are and the financial ramifications are, we're nowhere.
The town and county managers will work through the winter to draft a report to the boards and council on the best way to implement the task force's plan. That report will be presented to local governments after the Chapel Hill Town Council votes on the ETJ extension in January. Meanwhile, the residents of Rogers Road will continue to wait, something they've been doing for 40 years. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
The Chapel Hill Town Council has a lot of business to settle before the holiday break, and to get it done, the council is spreading out its weekly meeting this week over two nights. Tonight, the council will decide whether to move forward with a plan to build low-income housing on town-owned property next to the Chapel Hill Memorial Cemetery. If approved, the project will be a joint venture with DHIC, Inc. That's a Raleigh-based developer that specializes in building and managing affordable rentals using state tax credits. The council will also consider approving a new recycling partnership with Orange County and review plans to renovate Town Hall in the wake of this summer's flooding. Any issues not resolved tonight will be carried over to tomorrow night's special meeting, when the council will also be considering adoption of the controversial Central West Small Area Plan. Both of those meetings begin at a special time to accommodate the full agenda. The council will meet early at 6 o'clock tonight and again tomorrow night at the Southern Human Services Center on Homestead Road. As the weather gets colder, lots of people will start coming down with colds, sore throats, and possibly the flu. Certainly cold this morning as we talk about this, 24 degrees right now. Certainly a chilly day yesterday. Ann Zellman is a clinical nurse with the Orange County Health Department. She says that so far here in North Carolina, influenza activity has remained low and is sporadic all over the state, but that could change.
So far it's been a mild season, but it's early. And most people would guess that flu peaks in November or December, but actually, historically, flu peaks in February.
She says this could be the week the flu starts to spread because so many people will be gathering together.
Well, one of the things to remember is that the flu doesn't peak just because of seasonal variables, but it peaks because people come indoors and they come in close contact with each other. So it's important to remember that when you find yourself in that kind of environment, you want to be actively thinking about measures that you can take to prevent the flu.
Zellman tells us there are some very simple measures a person can take to prevent getting the flu.
Hand washing is very important. It's important to remember that the flu is an airborne disease, so if you're coughing and sneezing, you want to make sure that you're doing that into your elbow or into a tissue and that you're washing your hands afterward.
She says that if you've not gotten your flu shot yet, you need to do it as quickly as you can.
It's absolutely not too late. It's really important to continue vaccinating through February and sometimes even longer, depending on what the flu behavior is like out in the community. Anyone who hasn't had a flu shot yet should definitely get one as soon as possible.
And Zellman says young and old alike ought to get a flu shot.
Everybody needs a flu shot. And that's the CDC recommendation. Everybody over 6 months should get a flu shot.
7:39 at WCHL. You know, this is Thanksgiving week. Thanksgiving coming up, of course, on Thursday. It's a very special week. A lot of people have part of the week off, and it is a time of gathering together, festive meals, and getting together with your family and the folks that you love. It's a traditional week of getting together with family members and giving thanks for all the things you have in your life, such as your health, your home, your job, each other, to name a few. But for some folks, they don't really have enough money coming in to be able to provide themselves with a Thanksgiving meal. John Dorward is executive director of the IFC. He tells WCHL that the Interfaith Council will be providing food for a large number of families this Thanksgiving.
The 400 meals for the families, we actually supply them with the turkey and the all the sides that go along with that, that they can go home and cook themselves.
He says the IFC provides food for the holidays because so many families in our community can't afford it.
Turkeys and then at Christmas, the hams and things like that, they can get kind of pricey. And so some people are not really prepared to be able to do that. And this way that they're able to provide their family with the same type of meal that the rest of us are doing.
The pickup of these food items begins today and runs today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Families who qualified for this Thanksgiving meal have already signed up and have already been approved. Dorward also tells WCHL there will be a traditional meal on Thanksgiving Day for the homeless in Chapel Hill and the surrounding community.
We'll be at the community kitchen, which is in the old municipal building down there on the corner of Columbia and Rosemary Street. And I believe that that happened somewhere right around noon.
741 at WCHL. I'm Ron Stutz. Rand Northam is here. And it's that kind of morning here, folks.
Inside and out.
Yes. Well, we try to be thorough.
That's right.
You know,
we want to feel just like you feel.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's really cold for kids. You know, out by the bus stop today,
very
and all
true.
That sort of thing.
Yeah,
and it's if you man, I just feel fortunate that I don't have a job where I have to work outside.
Mm.
You know, there are so many people who. And we're talking like it's like minus 50 degrees or something, but, you know, it's the first real long, you know, cold snap we've had.
Sure.
It's been kind of moderate weather, and so I'm not used to it.
Well, and they are talking about the fact that it's going to be a warmer and drier winter. Mm-hmm. I personally don't believe it yet. I'll believe it when I see it.
I don't believe anything in the forecast, to be honest with you.
But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, it was really cold yesterday. I don't know if you were outside any yesterday, but, man.
Not very much. We went and saw Catching Fire, the mm-hmm. newest of the Hunger Games movies.
Yeah.
Went and saw that yesterday because I was out of town on Thursday and Friday. Wasn't able to go see that. My wife was not happy that we weren't able to see it as it opened, but... you know, it's interesting. They're actually opening movies now Thursday, like, evening instead of Thursday at midnight. You know, before uh-huh. it was, if it's released on Friday, it's open Thursday at midnight. Yeah. Well, now they're pushing it back. I mean, it's kind of like Black Friday is now, you got your sales on, I mean, Black Friday sales are starting today.
Yeah.
And some last week, even. The Home Depot's been advertising Black Friday sales since last week.
And I, you know, so. People are talking about Christmas and everything. Yeah. I don't know about you, but
people start talking about Christmas before Halloween.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even think about Christmas until after Thanksgiving.
Huh.
Then I start getting in the mood.
Yeah.
But for me, I mean, it doesn't kick off until then, and you know, I don't even want to hear about it now.
I know.
You know, and it's like there's one key phrase that stuck out in what you said just a moment ago. Now, I mean, this is a guy who's only been married for what? How long have you been married?
6 months, I think.
6 months?
I think so.
He's been married 6 months, ladies and gentlemen. And the key phrase in all of that a while ago, that conversation was, my wife was not happy.
If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy.
You learned that quite quickly. And there's going to be so many thousands of times that you're going to say that or at least think that in the coming years.
You know what? I better be careful now. My wife is starting a new job today.
Uh-huh.
So she does not get up at 4:30 when I get up now.
Uh-huh.
She will be going to work at either 8 or 9.
Uh-huh.
And so she has a much better chance of listening in the morning. So I better be careful now.
Okay, I'll help you there. we'll have to cool it. See, usually I can do these kinds of things too because my wife is not listening to a certain time anyway. So
sure.
I know how you feel. You know, but my wife is not happy.
Yeah.
Oh boy,
ain't happy. Ain't nobody.
Truer words have never been spoken. Well, what's happening at ChapelBro.com today?
Well,
that is why we decided to talk.
Yes, it is, very much so.
So.
Well, Aaron Keck continues and is almost at the end of his blog a day for November blogs. And today it's Durham's pretty nice this time of year is what he says.
Mm-hmm.
Chapel Hill is a little chilly and Durham a little chilly right now as well. But he's talking about random thoughts on house hunting as he is now quickly in the market for a house.
Yep.
As there's some changes going on in the apartment complex nearby, so he's looking for a place to stay. Also, Huddle Up with the Heels, of course, an 80-20 win. Wow.
Yeah. That's pretty
the
exciting.
ACC record at 82.
Yeah.
So
and we
Carolina
could've,
with
we
a field
set
goal
a new
could've
one
gotten
quite,
that one.
Quite
yep.
easily.
But yeah. you know, it's there's but, like Kevin said, and like the coaches have said, there's just no need to pile it on. And,
yeah.
You know. I gotta mention ODU's helmets, though. Did you saw those, right?
I didn't really.
It's the outline
attention.
Of Virginia,
uh-huh.
So it's the state.
Oh, does it say our state?
No, it doesn't say our state, but it's got the ODU lion in the monarch in the middle. of the state of Virginia. Pretty neat little helmet. That, just all the different things that they're doing with uniforms nowadays are pretty cool.
I didn't even notice that. I thought they might have the outline of the state of Virginia with "This is our state" in the middle, like North Carolina State.
Right. Now,
Somebody posted a billboard on Raleigh after East Carolina beat State and says, "Our state." And they had
right,
the score
yes.
of the game on it.
Exactly, yeah.
They had
yeah.
that one ready to go up.
That's right. That's right. Well, huddle up with the heels, of course, college pick 'em. And I don't think I actually made my picks because I was thinking elsewhere. I was, again, out of town on Thursday. I think I missed my picks. I think Kenny made them for me.
I made mine at the last minute when I was leaving here about 7 o'clock on Friday night.
Well, I'm sure my picks are a lot better because Kenny made them for me.
Probably.
I'm well out of the running, so don't worry about it. Yeah. If you see a spike in my numbers, that's why.
Right.
But huddle up with the heels, that's where you can find College Pick'em. Of course, our calendar page, our photo galleries, and much, much more news and sports, lifestyle columns, everything that you need to know about Chapelboro in and around the Orange County community. Chapelboro.com with instantly live streaming on an app for that.
All right. Traffic and weather together on the way. We also have today's commentary on the way next.
Having a nice lawn is not impossible.
Our mission at Landscape Logic is to help you discover the possibilities for your landscape. We'll evaluate your landscape, prioritize your needs so that you can make a decision based on practicality or economics. We are qualified and committed to giving you the direction and care you need to create a finished and kept look for your landscape.
Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to visit LandscapeLogicNC.com. Landscape Logic, the logical choice for all your landscape needs.
Bette Davis famously said, "Getting old is not for sissies." What she didn't say is that dealing with aging loved ones is no easy task either. HomeWatch Caregivers gives you the support you need for your loved ones, from simple companionship to comprehensive personal care. Its trained staff gives you peace of mind. You can relax knowing your family member is well taken care of. HomeWatchCaregivers.com or call 919-960-6038. HomeWatch Caregivers, let our family care for yours.
"Gobble, gobble," said the guajolote.
"Margaret, are you talking gibberish or giblets?"
"I'm talking turkey, Ron. Guajolote means turkey in Spanish, and I thought this would be a fun way to wish everyone a wonderful Thanksgiving."
"But Margaret's Cantina is closed Thanksgiving Day."
"True. We spend Thursday with our families and friends, but we're open the rest of the week, and our southwestern cuisine is the perfect alternative to traditional Thanksgiving fare."
Margaret's Cantina in Timberline Shopping Center. Seasonal, local, authentic. Here's Ted Seagroves of the Seagroves Nationwide Insurance Agency to explain what it takes to be a great insurance agent.
Clients that are expecting you to provide them with the level of service and information, and that makes a good agent. If you don't have both of those qualities, you're just not going to have it. You're not going to make it.
Stop by the Seagroves Nationwide Insurance Agency today and let Ted, Pete, or Amy show you Nationwide and Seagroves On Your Side Family Service.
7:49 at WCHL. Good morning.
Oh, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Kate Enschelmeyer. Quit smoking today for a healthy tomorrow. That's one of the taglines for the 2013 National Great American Smokeout Campaign, which occurs every year. This year it fell on November 21st. With this annual attention on awareness of the Great American Smokeout, many of us think about those around us who are smokers and wish they would quit. Or we think about those who have quit smoking and maybe even think about how long it has been since we last smoked. Here in North Carolina, we are very lucky to have so many smoke-free areas, including all of the UNC campus and most of Chapel Hill. But did you know that many of us who don't or never smoked are at risk for Silicon Valley Syndrome, or SVS? That is because sitting is the new smoking. It is starting to get some attention, but not nearly enough. Physical and mental health systems arise from spending way too much time sitting, oftentimes in front of a computer screen. So many of us have computer-centric lives that we are all at risk for this. We love our technology, and all of it can make us feel like we are being more productive. But studies have shown that the technology can cause us to put our bodies into positions that are unhealthful, and just as unhealthy as smoking. The most common problems are eye strain, followed by back and neck pain, headaches, wrist pain, carpal tunnel syndrome, and insomnia. People who spend most of their time sitting increase their risk of diabetes, cardiovascular events, and even death. Many of us have had lectures on office ergonomics and how to sit or position our monitors and keyboards, but the simple fact is we're not moving enough. So for starters, get up and take a stretch break right now. The body was designed for walking, but we don't seem to be doing too much of that lately. An Australian study published in October of 2012 in the British Journal of Sports Medicine compared watching TV and smoking. The authors calculated that every hour of TV that people watch, presumably while sitting, cuts about 22 minutes from their lives. By contrast, they estimated that smokers shorten their lives by about 11 minutes per cigarette. So as we think about the Great American Smokeout, we should also think about the fact that sitting is the new smoking. Make sure you get up and move more frequently, even if it's just a quick lap to the water cooler or the mailbox. This is Kate Enchelmeyer.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
This is Martha Jenkins from Kitchen Works in University Mall, here to remind everyone that this Saturday is Small Business Saturday. You know, I was thrilled to find out that almost 65% of money spent at small businesses goes right back into the local economy. So come out this Saturday and support your favorite small businesses in the Triangle, and remember to come see us at Kitchen Works in University Mall, where we're open until 9 p.m. Kitchen Works, your everything for the kitchen supplier.
Hello, this is Tony Hall, real estate broker at Tony Hall & Associates. I'm pleased to announce the addition of Catherine Clark and Cindy Goodman to my sales staff. Catherine and Cindy come to Tony Hall & Associates with years of experience in the Chapel Hill real estate market. Contact us today for professional real estate service at 919-933-8500 or TonyHallAssociates.com. At Tony Hall & Associates, we don't just list houses, we sell them.
Lloyd Tire at 730 Hillsborough Street, a title sponsor of the Continental Tire Big Apple Basketball Giveaway, has served Chapel Hill and Carrboro since 1984. Lloyd Tire carries Continental and most other major brands and is more than just tires. Lloyd offers all major automotive service and repairs and prides itself on the integrity of its business and employees, including three military veterans. You will get an honest appraisal and estimate at the most competitive prices. Stop by Lloyd Tire in Alignment at 730 Hillsborough Street, serving Chapel Hill and Carrboro for 30 years.
Here's what a typical service department sounds like on Sundays, but not at Crown Honda of South Point. We're open 11 to 5 on Sundays. No one else does that. No more early morning drop-offs or rushing after work with the kids. We work around your schedule. And you can always count on Crown Honda of South Point for the best deal, like zero down and just $259 a month on a 2013 Honda Accord LX. For service beyond the sale, Crown Honda of South Point. Now with service on Sundays.
All righty then, it is time now for Traffic and Weather Together on WCHL. And this traffic report is brought to you by Carolina Football. You can win tickets to Saturday's big game against Duke by going to WCHL's Facebook page and registering to win. It's that easy. And don't forget to experience Tar Heel Town at Bell Tower Park, right next to the stadium, right before the game. Now, with your morning traffic, here is Rand Northam.
Well, two more games coming up. We know that, that's for sure. But a big one first, going, that Duke game.
Going bowling, folks.
Whew, boy, it's an excellent season. 15501 northbound right now between NC 86 and Manning Drive, seeing some delays. Also some delays on 15501 northbound right around the NC 54 interchange. 15501 northbound between Ephesus Church Road and I-40, seeing delays. And NC 54 eastbound and westbound, seeing delays right now between Barbary Chapel Road and I-40. I-40 eastbound between NC 751 and the Durham Freeway, seeing some delays right now. Could be partially caused from an accident on NC 55 that's just backing up the roadways all in that area. Again, I-40 eastbound from NC 751 up to the Durham Freeway right now. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask that you do that safely.
23 degrees in Chapel Hill. Cold enough for you? 23 in Chapel Hill, 22 in Carrboro, also 22 this morning in Hillsboro. Partly cloudy today. Look for a high today of about 45. Tonight, it's going to get down to around freezing, low about 32, and then chance of precipitation, though, tonight. That could cause the problem. 50-50 chance of that. And then tomorrow, an overcast day with rain high in the low 50s. Tomorrow night, down to about 40. So tonight, that's where the problem could come. If we get some precipitation, and if it freezes, watch out. 7:55 at WCHL. Ladies and gentlemen, Wayne Pond joins us now pond may be frozen over this morning, but Wayne still will be able to give you the word of the day.
Well, let's just call you Hans Brinker, and we'll all go skating.
Sounds good to me. We're skating
hey, Ron,
right along.
You know the term parley. We borrowed it from the French parley, to talk, P-A-R-L-E-Y. Well, here's a word that is just about as close as you can get to the same spelling, and yet has a tiny little variation in the pronunciation. Mm-hmm. It's P-A-R-L-A-Y. P, P as in Paul. P-A-R-L-A-Y, and it's pronounced not parley, but parlay.
Mm-hmm.
Parlay. You're familiar with that?
Yeah.
Are you not? You're a betting man, so tell me what the definition of parlay is. There's your word of the day.
Parlay is when you turn that victory over Old Dominion on Saturday parlay it into a bowl invitation. Because we're now eligible.
Very good. Very good. Its first definition is to make a bet. And then you're on the money there. To exploit successfully, to increase or otherwise transform value into something of greater value. So P-A-R-L-A-Y, parlay, is your word of the day. And that's exactly what the Heels did this weekend, right?
Yeah, you bet. You bet.
All right, buddy, there's your word of the day. I hope you have a pleasant Monday, and I will speak to you tomorrow morning.
Oh, I hope so. Hey, thank you so much. We'll talk to you later. Wayne Pond's Word of the Day on WCHL, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Sometime next hour, you have an opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day, spell it, define it. If you can do all that, then we will give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers. All right? 757.
97.9 FM, WCHL. It is Monday, and time now for the clean joke of the day. And ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show, to brighten up your Monday and to start your week off right, Lauren Stafford.
Thank you for that very overly excited invitation,
I'm excited. I hope everybody else is.
I mean, I'm sure they are, but it's nice to know you're excited to see me.
Yeah, well, good. Good. And, lay it on me, baby.
And happy early Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
I think I'm still full from Friday afternoon's company lunch. Still.
Yeah, that was really good, actually.
Yeah, it was delicious, but I unfortunately always overdo it, which is not hard to do.
I don't have much willpower when it comes to things like that.
All right. Well, I have a good joke from my marketing assistant, Marissa Peterson.
Uh-oh. Are you sure this is okay?
Yes. She's redeemed herself. I think she has earned her spot back into the, good, clean jokes. So
she's worked her way back onto the island.
That's right. She's been voted back on the island. All right. Joe was a steward for Fly High Airlines. He watched as an older lady boarded the plane holding a dog in a cage. "Excuse me," said Joe, "dogs are not allowed on board. You have to check it in with the baggage." The lady was not happy, but Joe was an experienced steward and succeeded in convincing the lady without much of a scene. Upon arrival, Joe took a peek in the cage and, to his great surprise, saw that the dog was dead.
Whoa!
I know. Frantic that they may get sued, Joe quickly sent one of his underlings out to town to buy a dog that looked exactly the same.
Oh, right. Yeah, that'll work.
Just in the nick of time, the underling arrived with the dog. They quickly switched dogs and breathed a sigh of relief. As soon as the lady saw the cage, though, she said, "This is not my dog. I am sure of it." Joe insisted, no, that's your dog, ma'am. I was very careful about where I put it." The lady argued, "That is not my dog. You see, I was bringing my dog to my hometown to have him buried. And this dog is alive."
That kind of reminds me, you ever see the movie Meet the Parents?
Yes, I have.
Remember, he couldn't find the cat, and he went out and got another cat that looked like it. You know, it's ridiculous.
Never works.
You know, that's not going to work. No way in the world.
Poor lady must have think something, a miracle happened.
That's hilarious. Oh, boy, he outsmarted himself.
Exactly.
Hey, listen, thanks.
Thanks.
See you. Have a good day.
24 degrees in Chapel Hill. Look for a high today of about 45.
You're listening to 97.9 FM. And 1360 AM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's News, Talk and Tar Heels Station.
It's 8 o'clock.
And now, CBS News, presented by the Town of Chapel Hill Economic Development, where commerce plus social equity plus environmental stewardship equals our community.
Clear deal with Iran. Now.